Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I hope you're having a good day. Nice to have you here. This talk show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Busy, busy program. A lot of good content. Lots of different ways to go with it. So let's not waste any time. Coming up next segment, a linebacker for the New Orleans Saints, DeMario Davis. Second hour is wide open. Third hour, we have back-to-back interviews. Chris Mannix, a senior writer at SI and NBC Sports Boston, will be joining us 11:20 Pacific time. Dana White, president of UFC, joining me in the last segment, 11:40 Pacific time, 2:40 Eastern time. In the meantime, here is your phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. And also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveitake.com. All right, so it sets up like that. You know to jump in here. It is Smack-Off season, 15 days until Smack-Off 26. I've got another player profile for you today. Matt in Vancouver gets the jungle treatment. All right, starting with the story of the day, of course. Yesterday, Saints quarterback Drew Brees did an interview with Yahoo Finance. And in that interview, Drew Brees said the following.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
So that was Drew Brees yesterday. And that inspired a lot of reaction from a lot of different people. Here is Steven Jackson, a friend of George Floyd.
Shout out Michael Thomas, man. Way to hold Drew Brees accountable, Mike. I don't give a damn if he throw you all them touchdowns. Hold his ass accountable. Bad timing, Drew Brees. Bad timing, bro. All right? You play for New Orleans and you live in New Orleans. All them black people in New Orleans that support you, Drew Brees, you got to be a little bit more sensitive to the timing, bro. You can't just be saying out your ass. Yeah, you should understand. But y'all got to hold all y'all white teammates accountable, bro. All that. You know what I'm saying? We got to end that. Now, ain't no straddling the fence, all right? Y'all got to check y'all teammates. Michael Thomas, I salute you, bro. Drew Brees. Way to check his ass. If you ain't down with us, then, hey, you on the other side. All that friends and acting like you support us, acting like you really down with us, we ain't buying that. All that half-ass supporting us, we ain't down with that. The same you half-ass supporting is the same you throwing them passes to that make you get all these goddamn yards. Facts. But y'all don't like the truth.
That was Steven Jackson. This is Ed Reed.
I'm going to just get straight to it. I see Drew Brees trying to do his part in keeping black folk down. You're a straight sucker for that, Drew Brees. We all got kids, so I'm going to try to mind what I say right now. Drew Brees, you're a straight sucker, man. You're a sucker for that, bro. Why you think all these young people out here protesting? Why you think they're out here protesting? The looting, I can see you speaking on the looting and saying that's bad, you don't support that. But why you think all these young people out here protesting?
I really ain't got no more words for you, bro. You're a sucker, man. Straight BS, man. Straight BS. And for all my Saints fans, for all my New Orleans people who still like your ass just because they want to win games, y'all right with them. You understand? Drew Brees, you're a sucker. You're going to be a sucker. You understand? Punk, man.
Ed Reed with those comments. Now here is Malcolm Jenkins, a teammate of Drew Brees.
Drew, unfortunately, you're somebody who doesn't understand their privilege. You don't understand the potential that you have to actually be an advocate for the people that you call brothers. You don't understand the history and why people like me, people with my skin color, whose grandfather fought for this country, who served, and I still protested against the national anthem, but against what was happening in America and what the fabric of this country is for, or stands for. If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bullshit, it's just lip service, or it's only on the field. Because when we step off of this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Drew, where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Because while the world tells you that you're not worthy, that your life doesn't matter, the last place you want to hear from are the guys that you go to war with and that you consider to be allies and to be your friends. Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide.
Malcolm Jenkins. I could go on because LeBron was in, so was Snoop, Saints receiver Michael Thomas, also Jamal Adams, the list goes on. This morning, Brees posted an apology to Instagram, quote, in an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth, and it's not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. End quote. He went on to write, quote, I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask your forgiveness. End of quote. As far as apologies go, that one was well written, although there is some passive voice in there about, quote, the way my comments were perceived, end quote. You can make the argument that he seems to be more interested in making it seem like he's a good guy instead of truly understanding the issues at stake. Listen, he is entitled to his opinion. I always like athletes who have an opinion and express it. But in this case, this opinion is flat out wrong. Saying that the protests had anything to do with the anthem or the flag or the military is wrong. Saying that they were disrespecting the flag is wrong, period. Brees had this stance in 2016. He had it yesterday, twice. Once in the interview with Yahoo Finance, and he expressed a similar sentiment in a text exchange with ESPN, occasionally throwing in some all caps for emphasis. He did not misspeak. And I'm guessing that apology was a disappointment to some of his supporters and people who really wanted him to stick to his guns on this because they feel the same way. I have always enjoyed my conversations with Drew Brees. He's somebody who is very careful about what he says. If he says something a number of times over the course of years, I'm going to take him at his word that he genuinely believes it. Maybe he had a moment of clarity yesterday after so many people responded so emphatically to him. But if you just figured that out in June of 2020, where have you been for the last 4 years? Seriously, how is it possible that you still think in 2020 that Colin Kaepernick was disrespecting the flag? How many conversations and people did you have to ignore in order to hold that belief? This is a question for Breeze and for everybody else still holding on to that idea, but especially for Breeze. Like, we're told time and time again that locker rooms are the ultimate melting pot. But if that's the case, after 4 years, how are you still holding on to that belief? How have you not engaged with the ideas and the realities of your teammates to the point that you recognize the simple truth about Colin Kaepernick's stance? Colin Kaepernick's protest was about racist police brutality. It was never about the flag or the anthem or the military. I don't know how many times we have to go over this, but apparently we keep having to because people keep trying to conflate the two. This is so crucial. Not only was it not about the military or the flag, but his decision to kneel was born out of a conversation with Nate Boyer, a Green Beret. It was Nate Boyer, a Green Beret, that suggested that Kaepernick take a knee. That's the degree to which he was considerate of the military and the flag during his protest. I don't know how many times I've said that on this program, and it still keeps coming up. And the issue isn't just that it's wrong to conflate Kaepernick's protest with disrespecting the flag or the military. It's ignorant. At this point, you have to wonder if it's willfully ignorant. Because trying to say that Kaepernick's protest was about the anthem or the flag or the military is an attempt to ignore it. It's an attempt to distract from it. It's an attempt to change the subject. And it's largely done by white people who don't want to engage in the hard, uncomfortable realities that Kaepernick raised. The same reality that teammates of Drew Brees live with on a daily basis and that we have seen time and time again on video. And to say that it's about respecting his grandfathers who served is to ignore and nullify the sacrifices of the grandfathers of his teammates who also served. And they served a country who did not welcome them back, did not support their right to vote, their right to live where they wanted, and so much more. If Breeze really did have a moment of clarity last night or this morning, that's great. That's great. If he really did some soul searching and recognized how he was minimizing and ignoring the issues that have been raised, and that he was not part of the solution, that's great. I now challenge the rest of you who hold the same beliefs that Drew Brees did to do the same. 1-800-636-8686. Again, I know this is a very uncomfortable topic. I know I just lost a few more listeners. It's time to get comfortable being uncomfortable and have these uncomfortable conversations. In addition to that, as we've been doing, I'm trying to find a balance. I'm trying to strike a balance between talking about the main issue, the most important issue, and then talking about sports and what we have. Maybe off to the side, way over here, have a smile or a chuckle. So I'm going to strike that balance. I've got some other things to talk about, including the return of the NBA. It looks like this may be in play. I want to talk about the Jim Rome podcast, which dropped yesterday with Jimmy Connors and his son, Brett. That's good. I want to talk about a Spanish porn star and toad venom and candles shaped in the form of male genitalia. It may not be appropriate. I may or may not do that. And I want to talk some NFL. I've got conversations coming up with Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. That's next segment. Second hour is wide open. Chris Mannix in hour three. Dana White also in hour number three. Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, Couch Surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen, yes you, Colleen, with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow. Your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or do you want to cancel? So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials do expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, what is in your wallet? Limitations do apply. Capital One.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You want to talk about, you can go ahead and start dialing right now. Again, that phone number is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. But first things first, we are joined by a linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. He is an all-pro. He is a Saints captain. He is the founder of Devoted Dreamers. He is the author of The Unsuccessful Champion, Finding True Victory in the Midst of Adversity. That's available right now. Proceeds from his Man of God mask sales are going to the families of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. We are joined by DeMario Davis. DeMario, it's nice to have you on the program today. How are you and everybody around you as it relates to the events of the last week and a half, DeMario?
Thanks for having me on. I think we're living in a climatic, you know, time in our history. You know, a lot that is going on since our existence. And racism being in the fabric of our DNA is coming to the surface, and particularly as it pertains to the Black community. And there's a global outcry going on right now. There's millions of people in the streets protesting the treatment of Black people, not just here on American soil, but around the world. And, you know, I think it's a shame that we have to be dealing with this now, because this could have been addressed really before any of us were ever born, but it wasn't. And here we are now, and I think the most important thing is that we address it, that we deal with it. You know, things, so many systematic injustices, racism, all the way down to police brutality that are ultimately causing us the loss of a lot of Black lives. And we have to address that, and we have to fix that now.
DeMario Davis is joining us. Now, you've co-authored an op-ed piece with Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, Anquan Boldin, and Andrew McCutcheon. There's a line in the piece which reads, quote, "When we watch people like George Floyd or Eric Garner get choked to death, it's hard to be filled with anything but the utmost despair," end quote. So how have you gone about not feeling that despair or feeling it and then moving to a place of action?
That's a despair that has plagued the Black community for a long time. If you see a man on the ground that's being choked out with a police officer's knee in his neck, it wasn't a long time ago where people were publicly showing up to watch Black men be lynched and hung and you know, be choked out in that form. And when you see that we're still connected to that history, it's like that's a problem that should have been eradicated a long time ago. And as hard as it is, we must press forward to find a solution. And I think we're living in a unique time because we have so many voices at the table, so many different ethnicities, not just the Black community and a few people from other communities, but just as many, if not more, people from different backgrounds and cultures standing beside African-Americans saying, hey, we're willing to listen. We want to know how we can help out, and we want to be a part of the solution. And that's when you see the global outcry on behalf of the Black community, which has definitely been needed for so long and definitely appreciated that it's here now.
We're talking to Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. DeMario, what was your reaction when you first heard the comments from Drew Brees yesterday?
You know, I think what was disheartening about it was that we had hoped that we would hear him elaborate more on the problem of racism, and particularly as it pertains to the Black community and police brutality. I have a ton of respect for him doing an about face and saying, hey, I messed up. What I said came across as insensitive. But I am, you know, wanting to listen and know how I can use my resources to help the cause. I am on the side with the people. And that's what's most important. Now, because of how the things transpired, you know, his actions will be, we watch closely, as all of our actions should be, because it's not just saying we want to change. It's the actions that's actually going to allow us to change. And that's what we need. The black community has needed for a long time as many allies as possible. And that's why it's so great to see so many different ethnic groups who have traditionally and people who have traditionally gotten it wrong and missed the cries before, who are saying, you know what, this time I'm not going to miss it. This time I'm all ears. This time I'm all in, and I want to be a part of the solution. And so it's been so many people who have missed the point initially that are coming to defense now, and that's what's most important. At the end of the day, we all have to be united in this. The community needs as many allies as possible, and that's where real change is really going to happen.
DeMario Davis is joining us. You know, there's a much bigger picture here, but just one quick follow on the team itself, because you have Malcolm Jenkins and Michael Thomas and other members of the team that were critical of those comments from Drew. Do you feel like there was damage done to the team and the locker room as a result? Does he have to work to make things right? Does he have work to do in that regard?
Well, I think, you know, all words are most importantly going to be marked by action. And one thing I know about Drew is he's a man of action more than words. But at the end of the day, it's going to be action that's required to bring about change. And you can only judge somebody based on their action, not by their first response, not by their second response, but ultimately what do they do? That's the most important thing. And all of our actions are going to be critical towards, you know, bringing about solutions. And so everybody will have to, you know, deal with their emotions individually. But at the end of the day, what matters is action and how we move forward as a country to address these issues of racism, systematic injustices, police brutality, and finding a solution, and not moving away from that topic, but working collectively to bring an end to these things.
We're talking to DeMario Davis of the Saints. Now, DeMario, you've been an advocate for police reform for a while now, and as part of this conversation, you've talked about qualified immunity. For those who do not know, what is qualified immunity, and how does that play a role in all of this?
Yeah, well, it's just understanding that a lot of times officers are allowed by law to operate and be protected for their misbehavior. It's, you know, pretty much saying, you know, they're not responsible for what, you know, happens in their line of duty or while they operate. And so that's how so much mischievous behavior can go unpunished. And so and a lot of that is in the laws, it's in the contracts that police unions have with city officials. And, you know, it's certain immunity that citizens do not have, you know, and so their rights are and privileges are higher than those that they are sworn to protect and serve. And so it's little things like that. Also, I believe in empowering the good police officers. I think there are a ton of good police officers. We need to empower them with the tools to be able to weed out the bad officers. Not letting the good officers' opinions be outweighed by that of the bad officers. I think we can go a long way in helping that, which will help us clean up departments, help us with the hiring and firing process. People who have incidents before they, you know, go and kill somebody, they have incidents involving racial disputes, or, you know, they're connected to different racist organizations and whatnot. I think we do. Background checks and make sure we do away with the bad apples before they have something as drastic as murdering a man in front of the world.
We're talking to New Orleans Saints linebacker DeMario Davis for a few more moments. You know, when Colin Kaepernick was peacefully protesting, there were not that many white players who publicly supported him or understood the issues. What would you like to see from high profile white players now?
I think what we're seeing, the reason why we have a global outcry right now is because so many players from both black and white and other ethnic groups have taken, you know, their platforms, the social platforms, and spoken out and encouraged, you know, their followers to do the same. I think, you know, as athletes, we have tremendous platforms. You know, you look at the pandemic, once some basketball players, you know, caught the disease and they shut it down, the rest of the world kind of followed suit. And so you realize how big that platform is. And here you have, you know, athletes who are raising awareness to what's going on in the black community that aren't necessarily a part of the black community. And that's been huge, raising that awareness, but also joining the fight, you know, being out on the front line, being in the streets, protesting and demanding change, finding ways they can get involved to go and present to legislation different ideas and solutions in the community is what's going to be most important. Action is what's most important. Everybody can say they want to be a part of the fight and they want to help with the black community, but it's going to be marked by action. That's the one thing that the black community is watching more than anything is the action of their peers.
So tomorrow, for instance, like obviously advocacy is extremely important to you. Taking action is extremely important to you. So what is your reaction when you hear people say that athletes should, quote, just stick to sports?
It's always been so much bigger than sports. Humanity comes before highlights, before you ever should get caught up in your career or different accomplishments. You are a human being first, and you should always, you know, care about humanity. And, you know, it's as simple as loving your neighbor. And when people are crying out, people are in pain, you know, black people being oppressed in this country, it's everyone's responsibility to hear that cry and do something to bring about solutions.
Let me finally ask you, for those who do not know your story, you write about this in The Unsuccessful Champion, finding true victory in the midst of adversity. You know, you made no secret of the fact that when you were younger, you were kind of focused on being the cool guy and doing what was cool and being a tough guy. When did you first get involved in advocacy work?
I think I had noticed it in my whole life. I didn't necessarily have any solution. But, you know, growing up in Mississippi and living in a more urban environment, and then, you know, going to school where, you know, me and my friends, we come from, you know, this poverty-stricken area, but then, you know, seeing at the same school people who live in the suburbs and just seeing that stark contrast, you know, I kind of grew up, you know, kind of knowing that there's kind of like a white side of America and a black side. You know, I went to school with it every day. And as I got older and got to college and, you know, gave my life to Christ and got discipled and, you know, started to educate myself and, you know, learn more about, you know, systems of injustice and all these different things, I always wanted to use my platform for good. You know, I was always admired people like, you know, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Tupac Shakur, Muhammad Ali, people who used their platform to speak out on behalf of the community. And I always wanted to do that. And when I came to the league, started my foundation, started what, you know, right away giving back to my community and trying to build bridges. And as that platform has grown, you know, just the injustices in America have become, you know, ever more prevalent. And it's been amazing to link with other players across the league and use our platforms collectively to bring about, you know, change nationwide.
He is the founder of Devoted Dreamers. He is the author of The Unsuccessful Champion, Finding True Victory in the Midst of Adversity. That's also available right now. Proceeds from his Man of God mask sales are going to the families of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. He is an all-pro. He's a captain with the Saints and a linebacker there as well, DeMario Davis. DeMario, I appreciate the conversation very much. Thank you very much for making time for us today. Good luck.
Thanks, Jim. You take care.
You too. DeMario Davis, stay safe. Take care. Very powerful conversation once again. We will take a short timeout. Bottom of hour number one. We've got a sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Get connected on CBS Sports Network as we bring you big names and big surprises all via Zoom on CBS Sports Network. That'll be fun. 1-800-636-8686. Use that telephone number because we are open until hour number three, and then we go back to back. Third hour is going to be a busy hour. Chris Mannix joins us. We're talking about rebooting the NBA season, and I've got thoughts on that too. Dana White in the last segment of the program, president of the UFC. So between now and then, we're wide open. You've got the better part of 2 hours to jump up in here. 1-800-636-8686. In terms of some of the reaction to the first half hour, at Rosetta Stoned underscore one tweets, great segment on Drew Brees. My dad served in Korea, and while in uniform, had his jaw fractured by none other than two US MPs while drinking on leave simply because he was black. Now more than ever, we need white voices to engage and speak as loud and as empathetic as our own. Juan Rivera tweets, racism is so embedded into the American psyche that any criticism of racism is seen as an attack on America itself. That is what Brees has failed to see. Another strong point. You know, back to this issue of military. I think that when Drew says, my grandfather served, and that's what I think about when the anthem is played and I see that flag. I get that. I understand that. Except these other players that were protesting and people that are protesting also had grandfathers serve, fighting for the same cause, fighting for the same rights, rights that they're denied. And again, when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, it was not to protest the flag. It was not to protest the anthem. It was not to protest the military. I want to reiterate one more time. He actually got the idea from a Green Beret. Nate Boyer suggested to him, if you would like to protest peacefully, take a knee. He got the idea from a Green Beret. So it was never about the military. It was never about the anthem. It was never about the flag. It was about police brutality. It was about social injustice, racial inequality. One for 3C1 tweets the same thing. You nailed it, Jim. The kneeling by Kaepernick was never about the flag. It was the issue of police brutality. See, that's the thing. And for instance, like when Drew Brees made those same comments in 2016, you know, unfortunate, but more understandable than making the same comment again in 2020, because how much has transpired since 2016? How many conversations or how many opportunities for conversations might he have had? That's what was so troubling about that. And he apologized. In case you missed it, his teammate, DeMario Davis, came on and said that he was encouraged, that he had an about face, but he was stressing, I need to see action. I want to see action. And again, this was people around the sport, people inside his own locker room, people outside the sport. And the response was swift, and it was aggressive, and it was impassioned. People were really unhappy. I played cuts from Steven Jackson, Ed Reed. Malcolm Jenkins was on the verge of tears. Malcolm Jenkins was the one who said, Drew Brees is somebody that I looked up to. He was somebody that I admired. Like, he was greatly disappointed and hurt. This was Malcolm Jenkins, a teammate of Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, if you don't understand how hurtful, how insensitive your comments are, you are part of the problem. To think that because your grandfathers served in this country and you have a great respect for the flag, that everybody else should have the same ideals and thoughts that you do is ridiculous. And it shows that you don't know history. Because when our grandfathers fought for this country and served, and they came back, they didn't come back to a hero's welcome. They came back and got attacked for wearing their uniforms. They came back to people, to racism, to complete violence. And then here we are in 2020 with the whole country on fire. Everybody witnessing a black man dying at the hand, being murdered at the hands of the police with his, just in cold blood for everybody to see. The whole country is on fire. And the first thing that you do is criticize one's peaceful protest. That was years ago when we were trying to signal a sign for help and signal for our allies and our white brothers and sisters, the people we considered to be friends, to get involved. It was ignored. And here we are now with the world on fire, and you still continue to first criticize how we peacefully protest because it doesn't fit in what you do and your beliefs, without ever acknowledging that a fact that a man was murdered at the hands of police in front of us all, and that it has been continuing for centuries, that the same brothers that you break the huddle down with before every single game, the same guys that you bleed with and go on a battle with every single day, go home to communities decimated. Drew, unfortunately, you're somebody who doesn't understand their privilege. You don't understand the potential that you have to actually be an advocate for the people that you call brothers. You don't understand the history and why people like me, people with my skin color, whose grandfather fought for this country, who served, and I still protested against the national anthem, but against what was happening in America and what the fabric of this country is for, or stands for. If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bullshit, it's just lip service, or it's only on the field. Because when we step off this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Drew, where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Because while the world tells you that you're not worthy, that your life doesn't matter, the last place you want to hear from are the guys that you go to war with and that you consider to be allies and to be your friends. Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide.
Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, hurting, obviously, on the verge of tears. A teammate of Drew Brees. And him asking the question, if not here, Drew, then where? You don't want to hear this? Not here? Then where? Brees did apologize. In an Instagram post, quote, I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday. I'm going to stop right there. I'm sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday. But I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I'm very sorry and I ask for your forgiveness. But so once again, I want to mention that I think as apologies go, that one was well written. But there is that passive voice in that comment. Quote, the way my comments were perceived. So again, are you genuinely sorry for what you said? Do you genuinely understand what you said? Or are you sorry that your comments were perceived a certain way? And once again, and again, I appreciate any athlete who has an opinion. I respect an athlete who is entitled to their opinion. I'm the first one to say that no, they should just dribble or stick to sports. Except I have to say this opinion is just wrong for all the reasons I mentioned. That's not what taking a knee during the anthem represented. It was not about the anthem. It was not about the flag. It was not about the military. All right, so once again, this is another heavy, heavy first hour. I understand. I know that many of you want to come here to get away from this, that everywhere you look, this is what you see. You see protests. You see the pandemic. You're beaten down by it. You need a break. You want to get away. You want to come to sports. I understand that. I do. I really do understand that. Except sometimes there are some things you cannot get away from. Some things that really we don't need a break from. So I'm going to change up. I will talk about some other things, but this is still the main thing. And this is why I led with it once again. And this is why I had an interview in response to it once again. This is why we hit this in hour number one. If you want to react or respond to anything you've heard, you go right ahead and do so. I will open this up a little bit more as we go ahead. The NBA looking at a possible return, and it's starting to lay out. Now we know what it looks like. Whether or not they can execute this plan remains to be seen, but now we know what it looks like. I have thoughts on that. Chris Mannix will join me to talk about that too. Dana White still doing his thing. We will have him in hour number three, and there's a lot going on in the UFC right now to cover. The Smack-Off is still coming up. 15 days out now. Smack-Off 26. Winner gets $5,000. My thanks to my pals at Four Sharp Corners. They are the world's largest seller of PSA-graded sports cards. They buy and they sell the highest quality, highest graded sports cards. You can find them at foursharpcorners.com. foursharpcorners.com. And they are big-time proponents of the jungle. Coming up, hour number two next, and we are open. You have your telephone number. See you on the other side.